Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Kinda Funny's Kung Fu Panda in Review. Of course, I am Tim Geddes. I'm joined by the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Skadoosh.
Skadoosh. It's Christmas in February, Joey Noel.
Hello.
I'm the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Get ready to dance. Get danger.
Dance with danger, everybody. I don't know if Cameron Kennedy is watching live right now, but if you are, I just want to let you know, you are my favorite of all the people. He just sent me something that...
Oh,
the
no.
amount of times I'm like, God, this is your best work. Like, I think this is his best work.
Here's the thing, it's rarely ever targeted at me, and I'm still dreading it.
Yeah, no, it's this is...
The Willy Wonka one haunted me.
You know what? I'm going to put this out there. I'm going to drop a little tease for it. It's going to signify a very special event, the end of the DCEU.
Oh, wow. No.
It is an intro for Aquaman 2.
Oh, goodness.
That we will do whenever it's coming to streaming. And God. I can't wait for y'all to see this because it's really, really good. Something but that'll special. Have to wait for another day. We're talking about the Panda, everybody. Kung Fu Panda 3. If you love what we do, please support us with the Kinda Funny membership over on Patreon or YouTube. You can get the shows ad-free. You can watch them live as we record them. You also get a daily exclusive show from one Greg Miller. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kashan Patel, Nathan Lamothe, Karen Lindner, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, Casey Kern. We appreciate all of you so very, very much.
We could use one or two more Casey's.
There's a lot of Casey's. Yeah.
Casey Jones.
I got in my head about it, too. I was looking at it. Because one Casey's with a K, one's with a C.
Kind of threw you off.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, crap, there's a lot going on here. We're talking about Kung Fu Panda 3, everybody. And a reminder for everybody, Kung Fu Panda 4 comes out in March, I want to say. So we're going to be taking a little bit of a break. We just had a three-week back-to-back open slot. So we did these to get ahead, because next week... It's Madam Web time,
oh my goodness.
Baby. It's happening. Did y'all see the Dakota Johnson clip going viral?
There's so many of them. Which one?
The new one?
The one where they're explaining about the quote. It's so good.
And she doesn't get why it's funny. I love it.
It's the issue of all of the Chronically Online people trying to explain jokes to anybody who's not on the internet.
So in the trailer, what's the most important line?
My mother died or something in the Amazon getting...
Researching spiders,
mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, she was doing a press tour, and then one of the media people were just like, so you kind of had a little viral moment with this. Like, what are your thoughts? She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And like, with the line, and she's like, what line? And he's like, and he reads the line, and she's just looking at him like, what's weird about it? And he's like, well, just out of context, it's really funny. She's like, yeah, well, anything out of context is out of context. And it was just like,
she's not wrong.
I just fucking love it. I can't wait for this movie.
What a disaster this has been so far.
It's
one of the worst press periods leading up to a movie
ever.
And then in the other interview, her being like, yeah, studios are afraid to take risks. And when they do, it's bad. And every movie is like not good anymore.
She's just out here just talking, man.
I think she's mad. I think she feels like she got duped into what she thought was the MCU and found out that it wasn't.
Yeah. Where's Tom Holland? Like, no, that's a different...
What
do you mean?
He's doing Shakespeare. We're going to have to talk about that next week, because we need to talk about this little panda here.
Shakespeare?
Kung Fu. Yeah, he's doing a...
No, I was like, are we talking about Shakespeare next week?
Well, Tom Holland's doing Shakespeare.
What's he doing? Where's he doing Shakespeare?
Yeah. But when are we talking about this?
I think in London on the West End.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I want to see Tom Holland do Shakespeare. Yeah. Right?
When can we do that?
I hate Shakespeare, but that'd be fun.
In London.
Exactly.
Yeah.
London, baby.
Can we tweet at him and say, hey, cool that you're doing Shakespeare, but could you do literally any other play that's actually fun to watch? You know what I mean?
What's Romeo and Juliet?
There are no fun Shakespeare plays. That's what I'm saying.
Got it. Okay.
Can he be like, maybe he can be in The Bodyguard
The Bodyguard.
The new Mrs. Doubtfire play that's coming to San Francisco. I want to see that.
I'd rather have him being the Mrs. Doubtfire.
Could you imagine like, Euphrigenia Doubtfire, my dear.
Also, there's a lot of fun.
He's a disaster. He's a disaster.
God, I love
Nobody
it.
Likes Shakespeare.
This morning, Nick walks up to me and goes, hey, Andy, do you want to tell Kevin about the TikTok I sent you last night, which is the same one that you sent me a month earlier? I sent him a TikTok a month ago. He sends me an Instagram reel last night. I was like, Nick, I sent you this. Like,
I would expect nothing less.
It's amazing.
It's a good one.
Yeah. It is.
It's a little cat keyboard doing the meow, meow, meow. And it just shows a cat floating around.
Why is it five sides? It's so good.
Oh my God.
It's funny on Instagram.
About Kung Fu Panda 3, released on January 29th, 2016. This one had a runtime of 95 minutes, making it the longest Kung Fu Panda movie yet by like 3 minutes. Good for them. They know what they've got going on. This one was once again directed by Jennifer Nelson with a co-director, Alessandro Carlini, joining for the first time. They formerly have done a lot of like production work and assistant work on DreamWorks projects, but this is the first big like co-direction one. Music done by Hans Zimmer once again, but this time exclusively. The last couple movies were partnerships. This is all the Zims.
You see, I don't need a partner. It was like that character arc in his life.
Exactly. This one had a budget of $145 million and a box office of $521 million. So still cheaper than the last movie. Made $80 million or so less, but like pretty damn good. Yeah. Still a win, and not a surprise that they're making a fourth one at some point.
Panda's only two colors. It's a little cheaper to render.
It's true. Yeah. Unlike its
predecessors. Is that a panda pack for later? We don't know.
You gotta save it, Andy. We're running out of them. But unlike its predecessors, this is the first Kung Fu Panda film not to be nominated for an Academy Award. But it was nominated for like pretty much every other award show, and it won a whole bunch of different things too, like the Annie Awards and a bunch of other of those type of things. But yeah, that is the stats about Kung Fu Panda 3. Nicholas, I want to start with you. What'd you think of this one?
I think this movie rounds out the trilogy quite nicely. I like it a lot, and this was the one that I remembered more. Two is always the one that I'm like, I have no context for that whatsoever. In fact, maybe I've never even seen two until last week. But this one I just really like, and I think it's got a lot of heart. I think the humor hits a little bit better in this than it did in two for me. Shout out to Bryan Cranston. Shout out to J.K. Simmons. Excellent additions to the group ensemble. And we get a little bit more of the Furious Five here. We get a little bit more of all that stuff. It's just kind of more of everything Kung Fu Panda, so I really like it.
Joy.
I love this one, which I was not expecting. Whoa. But I liked a lot of things about it. I think, obviously, Bryan Cranston, J.K. Simmons, so good. I think the idea of J.K. Simmons taking the chi in the underworld and turning them into jade pendants and warriors is maybe one of like the coolest things ever.
Yeah.
Did not like when they started calling them... What was it? I wrote it down.
Zombies.
Yeah,
zombies.
I don't think
zombies.
I liked
Jade Zombies.
That. That part wasn't my favorite.
It was Jamba Juice.
Did it make you laugh? It?
Yeah, they did. It sure did.
It got me.
I want to give a shout out to Kate Hudson.
Oh, God.
Who was so Steals fun. And I wish that Steals she would have been in more. And I'm kind of sad that she doesn't do more voiceover work because she's just like, you can tell she's having fun. Yeah.
Maybe.
I loved the dynamic of the two dads coming together and figuring out their dynamic with Poe. I just had a really great time.
Andy Cortez.
I enjoyed it as well. Way more than I thought I would. I thought this was going to be where it completely fell off. And it was still like a pretty above average movie for me. There's some stuff that, you know, maybe didn't work out so well. I thought that some of the plot beats felt a little bit rushed. I didn't love kind of here's the plan for how we take on J.K. Simmons near the end. But I think it wraps up nicely and it ends with some really cool hype moments. And I was worried about where the storyline for the dad was going. I thought they were going to do like this guy's evil. He's actually trying, but it was a refreshing take on it. Cause like we've seen that story a million times. You trust somebody that was from your past and then they're actually here to really screw you over. And they're actually being paid off by so-and-so or whatever. But I loved that it was just like, no, I just want you in my life. And I thought that was really damn cool. And the whole, I loved the two fathers feuding and
so
like,
good.
Well, yeah, you're, you know, it sucks that your dad's evil or whatever.
You don't call him a monster. He's a monster, but he's still your dad.
Like, a lot of great moments of comedy there. And I still wish that they didn't undercut the serious high moment of like, I'm a freaking dragon. That was like, oh man, I wanted that moment to continue to be hype. But I get it, you know, kids are gonna laugh at that. I thought it was way better than I expected it to be, Tim. How about you?
How the hell was Kung Fu Panda 3 this good? Yeah. I don't get it, man.
Yeah.
And how was 2 that good? Like, this franchise, this trilogy so far is like the 10 out of 10 of 8 out of 10s. Like, it gets so much wrong of just like, oh, that moment was great. Why did you ruin it? And even the great stuff, it's like, it's just paint by numbers great, but it's great. It's not, it's not good. It's better than that. Like, there is a lot to love here. It's lean as hell. Some of the plot stuff in this one, like, I feel like the dad's storylines, like what they were actually doing and getting to the Panda Village, was never as interesting as the other stuff, but it was heartfelt and like it was so good, that stuff, that I just wish that parts of it were a little, I don't even know what, not tighter, but just like
tighter,
a little stronger, I guess, to like really make it feel like every moment was equal in terms of how much I was enjoying it. But it all comes together so well. It is just more like, it is a lot of just, this is the second sequel, this is the end cap to a trilogy, but it kind of earns all of its moments. And by the time the end hits at the end, I'm like, wow, y'all did a great job with this world and these characters. And like, how powered up Poe is feels appropriate, which is wild. And him getting all of his like suit upgrades and stuff. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, they really kind of were like, let's just go for it and have fun. And I feel it's evidence from the DreamWorks intro in the beginning of him like playing, like running after the moon and like getting on it, like it kind of being integrated into the movie. I was like, this is so damn cool. And if there's one thing that I legitimately love about these movies, it's the villains. How do we have 3 for 3 straight up bangers?
Like,
it's proof that if you just have a great villain that's fun to watch with an interesting enough storyline, your movie's just already that much better than most things out there. And all 3 of these movies have banger fucking bad guys. J.K. Simmons rules in this. I thought that after the second movie, I was like, there's no chance the villain's gonna be nearly as interesting. Holy crap, man, cool as hell, the freaking Kratos like Blades of Chaos thing is going on. But like, all of the idea of the chi and the idea of all of the pandas and all everybody like figuring out their passion to unlock their ability. Come on!
Yeah,
man.
Dude, it was sick.
Come Panda Rock!
I was going to say real quick that I was worried about the tonal direction they were taking with J.K. Simmons, and it ended up being perfect. Like, I think had they gone the more serious route, it still would have been cool, but it would have felt samey in a lot of ways compared to the last 2 villains that we had and how much we loved them, but they were like either super self-serious or super psychotic. And I loved that there were a lot of more humorous moments with J.K. Simmons while you still taking him super seriously. Like, you're watching him decimate this whole crew. Everybody's becoming a little Jade Pendant, and Poe is next. And I just loved those stakes. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I second that. I think that J.K. Simmons had kind of an uphill battle trying to find a uniqueness to this, because we did have the psychoticness of Gary Oldman, and then we had Ian McShane, who was just cool and badass and ominous. And so I think they played it for a little bit of jokes, but just the right amount, right? Like, the Star-Lord-ness of it, that nobody really knows who he is. And then when they find out, they're like, oh man, this is crazy. He's like Oogway's oldest like friend, but also a villain. And the fact that they brought Oogway back,
oh my God,
and he's the main character, and he can just be a character in this, it's is great, fantastic.
Somehow Oogway's returned.
But I mean, the strength of this, honestly, for me, is in the structure, right? I think that I love that all of the characters, including the B story of the two dads, go back to back what the theme is, which is finding yourself. And at the end of it, he realizes that he is both worlds. He is a goose, and he is a son of a goose, son of a panda, all these things that all go into making him, and he teaches them as they're teaching him. So it's a really, really, really good lesson and really strong at the end, and it totally works.
And honestly, like, that's, I think, what makes all these movies so special, is that all 3 of them, the first one was like such a great hero's journey story. And this, when you look at it as a trilogy, it's like, this is, everything about it is formulaic. Everything about it we've seen before, but it's presented well, and it is, there's very little fat on it. It's very like, let's get to the themes. If it doesn't back up the theme, we don't include it. And it works, and it works in an hour and a half, 3 times back to back. And like, you get so much world from this stuff. Like, it's really, really cool. I'm interested in 4. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
what are they going to do here?
But, how did you feel about the visual differences, like upgrades wise?
This was definitely the first time watching one that I didn't have moments being like, ugh, this is ugly. Like, it just didn't bother me this time.
I'll tell you, the only moments I did notice it were, like, I couldn't notice a whole lot of visual upgrades from the first two, mainly part two to now when they're in the daylight shots. But those later nighttime shots look stunning. I thought they did such a great job with rendering and shading. And there's a moment where J.K. Simmons' character is like, I believe he's talking to, Shifu. And he's kind of like in light and he kind of like passes a shadow and looks and like the green eyes really, really stick out. Any sort of nighttime scene looked absolutely stunning. And even cooler for me was the montage sequence.
Mm.
They did a lot of different coloring with like the color correction and everything had like this sort of orange tone on it in some moments. And they got super artsy with it. I loved that whole montage scene.
I feel like the first two movies kind of had moments that like teased really interesting, cool, like the yin yang twin transition and things like that. And there was
just
moments.
Yin yang twins. Yeah. I thought you were going to say that.
That's hilarious. Transition. And that stuff was like super cool. But I feel like this movie really, both storyline wise, action choreography, and just like cool visual stuff was like, let's leave nothing on the table. Like, this is our last hurrah. Let's just throw it all out there. And man, it paid off. It was pretty damn cool.
How about the fact that they actually set up something at the end of the second movie that paid off well in this movie too?
Yeah.
That could have been a problem, but they I think they nailed that.
Yeah, super, super cool. We're going to get into the plot of all of this in just a second. But before that, here's a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by kindoffunny.com/store. We've got two brand new drops for you this week. First, check out the Kinda Funny broadcast line. Old School Telethons inspired this distressed design and collection for our annual Kinda Funny Day campaign, which includes a t-shirt, tote bag, and coffee cup. Our cozy collection, designed by Nick at Campfire Designs, is also available. Get nice and snuggly in your choice of a crew neck sweatshirt and joggers and a women's cropped hoodie. These have been big hits with the team, and we think you'll love them too. Both collections are available for the next 2 weeks on kindoffunny.com/store. Grab them while you can.
Here's the plot for Kung Fu Panda.
One more time.
There you go.
Here's the plot for Kung Fu Panda. Go ahead, Nick.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I tried my hardest.
Kung Fu Panda.
We'll get on number 3. 4.
Get ready to dance with danger. Kate Hudson stole this movie. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I think she did.
I think it was the perfect amount of Kate Hudson in this film.
I think we need more.
We start off, maybe we'll get her in 4. Who knows?
Dad, save me. What does he say? There's a moment where like Kate Hudson's like really coming on him and flirting with him. And he has like a, Dad, help me. He has a real quick sort of line delivery that was perfect.
We get it. We start with a fun redo of the DreamWorks logo with the kid fishing, but instead it is Poe going up there. I've said this before, but it's worth mentioning again. This logo is always weird to me. Like the kid, the DreamWorks logo with the kid fishing for the moon. I'm like, this is off-putting. I don't like it.
What?
I don't know. I think it's cool.
What do you mean?
I don't like it.
Well, what's off-putting about it? What
are you doing up there?
What's he doing up there?
Get down.
What? He's fishing, Nick. Or?
I don't like it. It's not classic.
This is the most like senior citizen Nick take I've ever.
I remember,
what was that little kid doing up there?
I just remember seeing it for the first time. Like, you're trying to make a classic logo. Get out of here. It's never going to be Paramount. It's never going to be Columbia. It's never going to be any of these things.
The
get
reflection
out of, here.
Of the water. Yeah. It's cool.
I don't like it.
He's even doing like this Joe Biden thing.
Get him down. Get him down.
Get that malarkey out of here.
We cut over to Oogway, who is back, baby. He's finally found his inner peace in the spirit realm until his old friend Kai finds him for a rematch. Shout out to J.K. Simmons. Love how Oogway, I love this whole fight thing. The setup here, of course, is that Kai has been hunting down all of the masters of the spirit realm, taking their chi harness and that. And the last one he needs for to get back to the mortal realm is Oogway's. They fight, and Oogway has that cool style of fighting where he like draws out whatever the move is, the technique is going to do, and then shoots it at him, sort of like
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Doctor Strange. Yeah, super cool. I love it. I love all this. I love the visuals here. Of course, Oogway hitting you with the pearls of wisdom. When you realize the more you take, the less you have is basically what he's saying. And Kai's like, nope, don't care. He beats Oogway, steals his chi, and turns the old master into a jade trinket he places on his belt. Cut over to the mortal realm. Poe and the Furious Five are on the move. And this is hype as hell.
Dude.
But they're just going to lunch.
Great comedic moment.
It's pitch perfect, man. Yeah. Like they earned all this stuff of like the hype of the villain. Super cool. Like, oh, we get the plot. They're collecting the masters and their powers. Yeah, nothing cooler in the fucking world. And then when it hits to them and we got the team together parkouring through, they decapitate a cloud. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. A rhino cloud. Yeah.
So cool. And then, yeah, that played for the joke of them just getting lunch. It was like, y'all earned it, man. That
great line
good.
Delivery. Yeah, that stuff hit really good.
For me. They have a moment where they're ordering, and he orders for Tigress, who is always the most solemn of all the five. And one of them says, you know, sauce on side, which is always such a thing, you know, like when you're friends and you remember to remind your friend of what their order is. I like that small little bit of character building there. They head over to Shifu, who teaches them.
Said something about a dramatic entrance.
That's next.
Oh, okay.
They head over to Shifu, who teaches them the virtue of a dramatic entrance. Okay. He tells them today will be his final class because he's handing over training to the Dragon Warrior. And then he shows them his final move, the dramatic exit. And you think it's just a joke, but it comes back in the third act. I don't know if you guys caught that or not.
Yeah. We talked about the dramatic entrance being the most Tim Gettys thing
of
all time.
I love it. Trust me. When that was said, I was like, all right, I think this is going to be my number one. Like, they maintained it. They paid off.
Poe, of course, does not want to teach. He does not think he's got what it takes. But the Furious Five bow to him, and Tigress reminds him, all you have to lose is our respect. It goes poorly, of course. He starts the training, and it just does not work at all. He overhears some geese or ducks. I don't know. I always get confused. I think some of them are ducks, some of them are geese. I don't know. They look like, we'll just call them geese.
What's good for the duck is good for the goose.
Goose, good goose, Maverick. Talking shit about him, and he hides. And this got a laugh out of me, because he didn't want them to see him, so he goes over and hides, and then the camera just cuts over, they're just staring at him. And they're like, and then they just tell him again that he sucks. You're like, oh, that was mean. And then, of course, Shifu has set him up for failure, and he's like, well, why would you do that? Like, I'm comfortable being who I am. And he says, if you only do what you can do, you'll never be more than you are. Oogway, of course, saw greatness in Poe. It's an incredible power that awaits him beyond anything that he could possibly imagine. Shifu, of course, has mastered his inner peace, or is on the cusp of mastering his inner peace, and what he's able to do is harness his chi and revive a flower that is dying, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
If I teach you, I'll be able to do that. And he says, no. If you teach, I'll be able to do that. Because basically, just continuing the fun back and forth between Shifu just wanting a freaking break from everyone. But first, you must answer the question, who am I? And that is our theme stated of this movie. That is what Poe's journey is going to be. Kai arrives in the mortal realm, and he's got more nicknames than Kevin. Supreme Warlord of China, the Jade Slayer, the Master of Pain, the Beast Slayer. Of Vengeance, the Maker of Widows.
That's what we call Kevin, yeah.
Like, come on, man.
Pretty badass.
It's fucking cool.
It's so cool.
And then he does what I missed this the first time, and I didn't quite catch it until they call out. He actually can take all the trinkets, like the little jade statues, throw them out, and he has the powers of the masters. He can see through them and sort of control them, which is rad.
I mean, dude, what a great setup, because then we all know the good guys are going to have to fight their friends, and it's going to be awesome. And it was every single time. And as it built up, getting to Shifu, I'm like, no, this is going to be so sad.
It's the first time I felt like a real sense of danger with them. Because before any of them had been captured, I had been wondering, like, whoa, I wonder if they'll ever kill off one of these dudes.
Yeah.
Probably not. It'll be too traumatizing. But what if?
Maybe.
And then suddenly see them all captured was, I thought, really awesome near the end.
And shout out to this dude's theme song. Anytime Kai's on screen, it's like, oh, Hans Zimmer was going off on this. And like that, it made it so freaking like badass and scary. But like, you were saying this earlier, Nick, like the performance J.K. Simmons gives is like, there's an interesting confidence to him that doesn't feel like he's trying to be scary. Mm-hmm. He just is.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to give a shout out to the Jade as well. I like the rendering of that, right? Yes. Especially when you see Crane later and you're seeing like through his eyes, and because they're kind of translucent. Yeah. And kind of see through him. It's really, really off-putting. And you guys' point.
I was thinking about the rendering and the material work. It must have been real hard to make it look not like just a stand-in texture, because of the nature of it, at points it just looks like green blobs. But they did a great job with like
the subsurface scattering.
Using,
all that stuff.
That stuff where like, you know, where the characters' eyes were, they were a bit more lit up and stuff like that. Mm. I thought it was a really great job.
Part of me though did want to lick him a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
you see him and you go, looks like some sort of Jolly Rancher.
Like maybe we licked off all the caramel on him, the little apple pops.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's a real good pull. It reminded me of Gooigi from Luigi's
Mansion. Oh, yeah. Ew. All of us on different planes. Yo, what did you remind you of?
Blubber.
Blubber. Okay.
Blubber.
Poe heads home to take a bath, and his dad tells him that being a teacher is a promotion because Poe is worried about it, of course. And then to Mr. Ping's perfect character, you're like, oh, he's being supportive of his son. And he goes, no, that means when you have the run of the palace, I can sell noodles in the lobby. So he's always kind of thinking about himself there a little bit.
I wish that I loved anything as much as Mr. Ping loves noodles. Because I just, like, that's his brain, only ever on noodles and Poe. And you gotta love that.
You gotta be hustling, Joey. You know what I mean? He's out there. So you know how many noodle salesmen there are in this peaceful valley? A lot. Mr. Ping's is the best.
I have something I'd like to confess right now.
Never had noodles?
No, there was a moment. I was just going along with Joey mentioning flubber, even though I didn't understand it. Because I was thinking, that's a little white guy. Nope. I was thinking Glover. The video game. And then for the last 20 seconds, I've just been thinking, like, who the fuck is Flubber? Oh, Robin Williams.
Yeah.
The green
goo.
When
they're in the little conga line and there's so many of them dancing.
That was like the first, like, blow. Yeah. Like, that CG blew me away as a kid.
Me and my brother saw this movie in theaters, and at the time, I thought it was Star Wars. Like, I thought we were watching the most important movie ever made.
That was me with Small Soldiers.
Right?
Yeah.
Dude,
I was like, man. Small Soldiers is going to be one of 10 movies that are going to come out.
Tim's just the only person camping out for the Nutty Professor.
Like, we saw the clumps at the same theater.
I mean, they're great.
I will say, I had a Flubber-themed birthday party. There was a lot of green Jell-O.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is incredible.
Nothing wrong with that. The scene, of course, gets interrupted when news hits that someone is beating his dumpling eating record. Of course, when they pop over into the main portion of the restaurant, it's Lee Shan, and he's a big panda, and he's looking for his son. No way! I lost my father years ago. Well, hope you find your dad. Hope you find your son. And they got that perfect beat where everyone's like,
come on.
Come on, put it together.
This should have not worked, but it did. Like, just the timing, and like, this is one of those, like, Jack Black got the stuff when it comes to performing, where it's like they really sold this.
Of course, they realize that they are father and son. Poe's real name is Little Lotus, is what he was named at birth. Mr. Ping does not like Lee, of course, because he feels threatened by him. Lee tells him that there's a secret panda village. He received a message. He's like, well, if it's so secret, how did someone get you a message there? And he goes, I got a message from the universe. And you're like, he's full of crap. Or not. We'll see. He takes his dad to the Hall of Heroes, and they both wonder if they can fit in Flying Rhino's armor. This is one of my favorite scenes of the movie, because his dad sort of gives him permission to behave badly, and then it just goes off the rails fast. Great. Probably the funniest laugh that I got the entire time was Master Rat's little helmets. Look how small they are.
Oh, my Lord. That was so fucking good.
Okay. And then, of course, the daddy's like, we absolutely should not try Master Rhino's armor on. And then he walks over. He's like, his dad just walks over, can't see through it.
It's fucking like mech armor, yeah. The flying
badass
rhino.
Yeah.
What part was it where Mr. Ping gives him the little pot? He's like, no, not that pot. Give him this little pot. It was like a ding.
Whatever he uses. Yeah. That's like, the village of the end.
It's a great moment.
Let's see. We get the first beat of them riding around in this armor, and then Poe throws up. We'll get that comedic beat a couple more times. Dolphin style. Holy crap. Tim, did you laugh as hard as I laughed where dolphins, when he retreats? And he goes, this is dolphin style.
Oh, my God, man. Yeah, there was a maybe this like a 10-minute stretch here that I was, like, laughing hard.
Correction, Hans Zimmer did not make that song. Did not make Kai's song.
Who did?
Some people in chat were saying, like, yes, Hans Zimmer, not someone else is doing it. Yeah, sorry about that. Samuel Kim is the composer for Kai's song specifically.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
The YouTuber?
Yeah.
Samuel, what?
He composed music for films, web series, and commercials.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's fucking awesome. I love Samuel Kim. I did not know he was part of that, and that was not on Wikipedia, but holy shit.
I mean, maybe it's a YouTuber.
Good
I don't
for
know.
Him.
That's... Maybe it's just another guy named Samuel Kim.
I mean, it's that. I'm not surprised. That sounds like his stuff.
Okay.
So that's really, really cool.
So shout out to Alex GB and Jeffrey Kirby in the chat. Keeping us honest.
Shifu and the Five interrupt the scene, but Lee can't see through the armor, so he keeps Rhino headbutting Poe in the stomach, and I laugh. The alarm sounds, and Poe is overjoyed to get a reprieve. Now his father can finally watch him in action, and this is where we get our first glimpse of the Jade Masters, or Jade Zombies, or
Jambies.
Jambies, as we will call them for the rest of the time.
Jason
now,
Jambi.
This joke is, let me explain everyone. This joke is funny for two reasons. One, it's the kind of low-brow, low-hanging humor that I would say on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I think just word association. That's why it made me roll my eyes and
exactly.
why I hated it.
Two, they continue to call them Jambies for the rest of the movie, which makes me, it's so validating.
Yes.
You know, when I come up with something that dumb and then see it mirrored in a $500 million gross movie.
You're like, I'm doing something right.
I'm doing something right. I'm on the right side. You guys are on the wrong side.
Know.
Get on the right side.
I don't know.
Why? You were just encouraging him.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, I'm explaining why he feels right about this, and I don't like it.
But you're starting to come around. I want to give another shout out to one of the dumbest, but just got me every single time gags they have in here, where, hey, take a picture, but somebody has to draw the picture. It's so funny to me.
It's a good moment.
They have a picture, of course, in the beginning of it. I think I skipped over this, but there's a moment where he takes a picture with his dad, and then Mr. Ping pops up too, so it's his two dads. That picture will come back later when he realizes that he is actually both of those things, which is great. That's set up in the first act, which is wonderful. This one's really funny. He's like, hold on, it was Master. I think it was like Master Porcupine or something. He's like, take a picture with me. Like, he tries to hold on to him, which is great. And the guy's got to like dry. He's like, oh, I blinked.
This whole fight was awesome.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yep. Like the team attacks of all of them together, where they're like doing like coordinated like moves, was mm-hmm. so freaking cool. And it ending with like the joke of him, the bad guy, talking through the jade, and then being like, "Oh, they're all talking at once. Like maybe we should do that." Like just good stuff.
No one, of course, has ever heard of Kai before, so they head to the archives to find the story of Kai, who used to be best friends with Oogway. During a battle when they were both badasses, Oogway was injured, so Kai carried him for days until he came across an ancient village of pandas who, of course, had mastered the power of chi. Kai wanted that power. He was overtaken by greed, and Oogway, unfortunately, had to fight him and banish him to the spirit realm. If he were to return, he could only be stopped by a true master of chi. Lee, of course, sees an opportunity here and says, I can do that. And he's like, can you do that, Daddy? He says, of course I can. I'm a panda. We can teach you, but you have to come home with me. You must rediscover what it means to be a panda. Mr. Ping, of course, does not like this, so he hitches a ride in Po's backpack so he can take care of Po. But Loki, of course, because he's threatened by... But he's scared of losing Po. We all know that, and he'll say that later
you
in
finally
the movie.
Got him. What, Little Lotus, right?
Little Lotus. They get to the base of the Panda Village, and Lee shows Po the one thing he's been waiting his entire life to see, an elevator.
So funny.
The village at first is underwhelming, but then once the fog clears, it is spectacular.
Real quick, I do love the whole time Mr. Ping just shitting on everything. Like wanting this experience to be miserable. Yeah.
Just that one friend.
All of the
friend that didn't want to come out that night.
It's just every little comment is like, oh, look at this now. This is so inconvenient for us. Like, always bummed out that there's always a nice solution for all the problems.
I'm going to pop in real quick because obviously I can't stop thinking about this Samuel Kim music situation. Apparently, no. Samuel Kim just did a remix. Just did a YouTube video. Of like making an epic version of it because that's what he does.
Okay.
It's an Imagine Dragons song.
But
it was composed with Hans Zimmer and Imagine Dragons. So I don't know. Apparently there's a song called I'm So Sorry that is like the theme of this movie. It was like a vocal theme that was also the same melody as Kai's theme.
Interesting.
So more you know.
And yeah. Ben Loblick in the other YouTube chat said, are we talking about Twitch chat or does any have imaginary chat friends? No, there's two YouTube chats right now.
Yeah,
Patreon chat. And YouTube members.
Yeah. And Imagine Dragons.
And Imagine Dragons.
Anyway, sorry about that. I appreciate you all.
Po, one by one, gets introduced to a bunch of pandas in the village. They all teach him how to panda roll for the first time, which is cool. He's like, pandas don't walk, pandas roll. He meets Mei Mei, I think is how you say it.
Real quick, I do love when everybody walks in and everybody's all excited to see him. All the little babies popping out of that one little window.
So
they just
cute.
All like, it was great physics and animation on them.
Cute.
It looked so good.
And you gotta respect how cute these little baby pandas
are.
So
they're good.
I mean, you can't mess with it. It's so adorable. He meets Mei Mei, played by Kate Hudson, who is a ribbon dancer and very full of herself for whatever reason. And for whatever reason, I truly relate to her.
Crane help. It's such a good moment, man.
What's that?
I need to watch that.
That help. Well, the whole sequence is just wonderful.
Yeah.
Crane and Mantis go out on Wings of Surveillance, is what Crane calls it. They have a fun little back and forth where he's like, you can't just call like everything you do like wings of something,
like a superhero like, movie.
And then, of course, later Mantis picks that up, where he's like, he calls like Mantis Strike or something like that.
That's some pretty funny lines in this. Earlier, there's something where like he hits his arm and he's like, "Oh man, my little claw thingy."
Not my little claw thingy.
Yeah. It's either him or the bird that was like, "And we found out the tigress is flammable." Like, oh, the beginning.
That's
I was
a good one.
You guys are good.
Yeah, I think Mantis has another bang of lighter where he's like, "Oh, I'm still green. Oh, wait." Yeah. Always green. Crane and Mantis, they go out to, of course, they spot Master Chicken, Master Croc, and Master Bear. Master Croc, again, played by Jean-Claude Van Damme, even though I don't think he has a single line in this movie. He is still credited as Master Croc.
You feel it.
You do feel it. One by one, they all go in, even though Crane was like, we should absolutely not be doing this. And then one by one, they get turned into Jade. Crane, of course, says, screw it, goes in and gets turned into that.
The fighting is so sick, man.
Of course, before they go in, this is another line that got me. One by one, they go in. And then he's like, wait, Master Chicken's going in. Even Master Chicken's going in. And he's a chicken. And then Master Chicken just like shoots daggers at him. And he's like, bakak. And he like goes in. It's really funny. It's very well done. Anyway, one by one, they all get got back at the village. We start learning our lessons to become a panda and get in touch with yourself. And they're a lot like becoming me.
Nick, does D ever walk by at like... look at you watching these movies and just like roll her eye like, what, this guy's an idiot?
More often than not, because I'll watch these in our spare bedroom. I have the headphones on, so I'll just laugh, and then I just, out of the corner of my eye, I just see the door close. Every time. Back at the village, lesson number one, sleep in past noon. Lesson number two, let the hill tell you where to roll. Pandas don't know where to roll. We let the hill dictate that. Lesson number three, baby pandas will eat you out of house and home. Lesson number four, at the end of the day, do a nice deep sigh.
That was a good moment. Did you all sigh when he did that?
I did. You got it.
I felt good.
I heard Tim sigh today. And it's a sigh I've never heard Tim sigh before in my entire life.
I've never sighed that way before ever. Like, that was, it was a,
being in proximity
a lot
to you?
Being expelled.
No, it wasn't even me. It was just all, his whole day or something. I don't know.
You were right there. You heard it.
Oh.
We talked about this. Oh. I don't even remember.
Poe asks his dad when he'll be ready to master Chi, and you get the sense that his dad is stringing him along. So he brings Poe home to show him a picture of his mother. Love that all the pictures here, again, are hand-drawn. They're pictures, like, take a picture, but they're actually just drawings of them. We get a good beat of the drawing. Lee had it all. He tells him the story. I had it all. I had a wife that I loved, and then just when I thought it couldn't get any better, you came along, little Lotus, and then I had everything, and in one moment, I lost it all. And we get the same flashback that we saw in 2 with his mother putting him in the vegetable crate and then running off so that she could, get unfortunately killed by the wolves as a distraction. You don't have to worry about losing me ever again, he tells his father. Back at the Jade Palace, Shifu and the remaining 3 of the 5 get messages from all corners of China via arrows, which is cool. They just all start landing in front of them, which is rad.
What a cool shot of Shifu standing there with, like, looking at it, being so upset, like, oh, we're fucked. And it's like, it's zooming out and seeing how fucked they are. Real cool.
It reminds me a lot of that. Oh, man, I'm going to get it wrong. It's not Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It's the Jet Li movie that came out after.
The One?
No, that was an awesome movie.
No,
and that's a great poll. And we should absolutely watch that movie. Now, I forget what it was, but it was like not Warrior or something like that. There's just a great scene there where he's like, all of the army shoots arrows at him, and he has the same kind of concept. We have to like beat them all down. It's really cool. And someone in the chat will tell me what it is. Someone just says, love the One. Okay, we're on the One. It's fine. We're just going to watch the One later. Lee, the masters have all vanished. Just then, Jade Crane and Jade Mantis arrive as the harbingers of Kai. Kai, of course, harnesses his chi and uses Oogway's statue to destroy the Jade Palace, basically tearing it down wall for wall by spinning this massive statue of Oogway.
And is this the coolest thing we've seen so far?
Yes.
Wow.
It's really cool. Again, going back to like to your original concept, right? All this stuff is just, it's fairly... you know, normal stuff. It's just done very, very well. To put in context that probably Andy can understand, if the original Kung Fu Panda is classic Coke, the second one is probably vanilla Coke. This one's cherry Coke. It's still Coke. There's variations on something we all love.
Of course.
That makes sense. But they get really creative with this stuff, they which do. Makes it work, right?
Yeah.
This could have been dumb, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Did that work for you, Andy, the
he
Coke
likes
reference?
It, let him like it. I work
can I like something for once in the song?
Yeah.
I'm not like that stupid kid up on the moon fishing. Get him down.
Get him down.
What's he doing up there? How do you get up there?
How did you feel about the Coke with the lime in it?
Didn't like it.
I hate it. If you give me a Coke with a lime, I'm sending that back. I don't want it.
Like, even at a restaurant?
It doesn't belong in there.
Don't put fruit in my Coke.
Oh, I got a Coke in my lime yesterday at Joe's.
You got a Coke in your lime?
Yeah, that.
You just poured out of the lime, gave you a shot of Coke?
Yeah.
Good. I feel like they are just antagonistic entities that don't belong anywhere near each other. Similar to Hancock, which is like the one.
Yeah.
But this one, you can't be together, Joe.
Hear about lemons?
I love Wait, no. Fuck the lemon out of the Coke, yeah.
Okay.
Fuck it out of there. Don't.
Just fuck it out of there.
Poe finally finds his place amongst the pandas and tries to harness his chi using the cool, like, little hand gesture that they learned from Oogway's scroll. But he's interrupted by a tigress with news of doom and gloom. Of course, Mr. Ping immediately interrupts and says, "How's my restaurant? We'll talk later." Because he realizes that's wrong. Lee orders everyone to evacuate the town, and Poe finally begs his birth father to teach him the secrets of chi. But Lee has to come clean. I don't know it. No one does. Maybe we used to, but we don't anymore.
There's a scene right before this that, like, first of all, I love the chi of him trying to bring the flower back that Tigress interrupts.
Yeah.
That was very, very cool. But before that, when we lose some of the other Furious members, we get the Jackie Chan is the, like, the monkey thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's the part where he's, like, combined with the other one, and he's like going up, and the way he's moving, it's classic Jackie Chan shit. And he's like, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I just love that they animated him, like, how Jackie Chan moves in
That's
his
pretty cool.
movies.
I didn't catch
he's
that.
Just like bouncing around everything. Awesome.
You lied. Why? To save your life. He's basically like, I heard there was a madman coming to kill you, and it's the only thing I could think to do is just to save you here. He says, I lost you once. I'm not going to lose you again. You just did. Mr. Ping hugs Poe. I'm so worried about you. I can't even enjoy being right about everything. Says, I'm going to stay and fight
it's
that monster.
It's just a very Nick character, you know?
Poe says, I'm going to stay and fight that monster. And Mr. Ping says, he may be a monster, but he's still your father.
God, it made me laugh. I hate that it made me laugh.
God, it was so good. Again, James Hong, let's go. One of the reasons why I love this movie and one of the reasons why it's going to rank very highly for me, we put him front and center in this, and I love it. He's great.
Good point.
Kai. Poe decides to stand his ground and make a dummy version of Kai so he can start working out. Mr. Ping decides to mend fences. He brings Lee some dumplings and confesses that he's been mean to him the entire time because he was worried that Lee would steal Poe away from him. But I was wrong. Having you in Poe's life doesn't mean less for me. It means more for Poe. He says
that. Got me a little in my feelings.
Oh, I mean, what a that line.
But Lee says, I lied to him for 20 years. Or he's like, but I lied to him. And Mr. Ping says, well, I lied to him for 20 years. He thought he came from an egg. Sometimes we do things and Lee shoots him. And they're like, really? Like, I love that everyone knows that there's no way that anyone would go for this. He says, sometimes we do the wrong thing for the right reasons. He's hurt. He's confused. And he still has to save the world. He needs both his dads. Come on.
Come on.
Lee spots the picture of them with Poe. Or Mr. Ping popping up. And he realizes he knows the goose is right. Tigress catches up with Poe, and he's more confused than ever. He wants to do the wushi finger hold on him, but he's not sure if it's going to work. Kai, of course, has a Jade army. Poe can't compete unless we have an army, too, of pandas.
Chills.
Looks Come over, on. Of course, sees so everyone easy. And realizes.
So good.
Yeah.
But you don't even know Kung Fu. Then you will teach us. I can't even teach Tigress, and she already knows Kung Fu. Which is a great line. We can learn Kung Fu. We can be just like you. And then boom, the light bulb moment goes off. And this is where we're kind of everything starts to piece together. That's what Shifu meant. I don't have to turn you into me. I have to turn you into you. So good.
Cool.
So good.
Who wrote that? Like, who wrote that line? Because it is good.
Yeah.
It's good. And I love this.
And
right?
backing up what the, you know, kind of everything. Teaching you about your past and your history and like learning the things that you've always had kind of within.
One by one, of course, he cultivates each of the pandas' strengths. Mei Mei gets a set of nunchucks to go along with her ribbons. The kids make weapons out of their hacky sack. We got noodles. We got the kids that are tumbling down. My favorite, of course, and I don't know if the character has a name or not. I couldn't find it on the x-ray, is the hugging panda, the one that just hugs things to death. Kind of fun. Reminds me of Greg for some reason.
I like the little girl and the big stripey lady.
Yep. Somebody in chat said that they were all Angelina Jolie's kids.
Oh, really?
The baby
that's
panda.
Cool.
Oh, that's kind of fun. Poe, of course, after the training montage, this really fun training montage, looks out over his army and says, they are ready. And then a beat goes by and Tigress goes, what?
But I love seeing him being like, good, again. And like being like super leader, Poe. It's awesome. And the visuals here throughout this whole sequence again Very cool. I love the way they colored everything.
And something I'll say that was like masterfully done with this like montage scene of him training is that it made every joke that could have been overdone made throughout the movie make sense and have a payoff moment mm-hmm. here, where I did not expect that to happen. Like every single group of them, every panda, the hugger thing, the little kids, and the big stripy lady shit, like all of that paid off. And I'm like, y'all pulled something off here. Yeah. That's great.
And it's good too, because he lays out the basic plan in this next scene. It's got a couple beats of with the kids eating all this stuff and all that stuff. But the basic plan is not that they fight him. It's to distract them so he can get close enough to do the wooshy finger move and blast them back to the spirit realm.
The music also, in the montage is also 10 out of 10. So good.
Yes, it is. We haven't said these words yet, and that kind of upsets me. The point of this is to banish him to the spirit realm, Andy.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Holy it's shit.
It's
super
cool. There's but uh-oh, cooler. It's time for our favorite segment of the show, everybody. He's a panda, a panda, a panda. He's a panda fact. He's a panda, a panda, a panda. He's a panda fact. And he's gonna tell you about a fact about a wet bear who's white and black. He's a panda, a panda, a panda. He's a panda fact. Get that the facts real quick on my phone.
A lot to keep track of. Yeah. You know?
1 second. Here we go.
He's a guitar and a piano and
what's
a
amazing
phone.
Is at some point Andy's gonna have.
Oh,
four
sorry.
Inch.
I restarted 1 second.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, Andy's got a pedal.
I got it. Double.
This is like there. Realizing that someone's lip syncing. I thought he was playing that the entire time.
No, I pre-recorded it down here in the thing.
Smart.
Which is what all the Super Bowl artists do.
You should.
You know that?
Don't take a chance.
Timing. Pandas eat for 10 to 16 hours a day.
They are like me.
No, for real.
Fuck, man. I took down a half bag of Tostitos scoops yesterday. I didn't even blink.
A panda, that was a panda. It was a panda fact.
Was that the same bag of Tostitos scoops that you were eating on the last episode you dropped on the floor?
No, I threw that one out. Okay. Because at a certain point, the scotch tape that Cool Greg had wrapped around it to keep it closed just wasn't sticking.
Got a bunch of dust in it. Yeah. Got a bunch of salt on it. Yeah.
Chucked it. Opened up a new bag. I bought at Target the other day. Lee looks over Oogway's scroll and can't help but fixate on the pandas doing the tree with a hand signal. He says, I wish I could have taught you this, son. Then Big Bad Kai arrives. They hear his swords first, which is cool. They hear like that spinning sound. Kai looks at Poe.
So cool.
With his jade vision.
But the way that he launches up the fucking wall, so like he scales this shit is so cool.
We get a very subtle, but a very perfect beat of humor here. Where I forget which one of the jade army statue, like Masters is looking at him, but it looks like it's like x-ray vision. And Poe goes, hides his body away from him. Like, stop looking at him like he's looking at his clothes. Oh, man. Then the fight kicks off. Poe baits Kai and unleashes by calling him Chatty Chatty or whatever. And then Kai unleashes all of his masters on Poe, including Mantis, who's always been green. Dumpling Squad takes out Crane. Spring Roll Squad takes out Gorilla and Croc. Hug Squad takes out Monkey. Noodle Squad gets Maymay. Maymay says, get ready to dance with danger as she starts taking out some people. Tigress fights with her biggest fan, the baby panda, and Poe. That Poe gave the action figure too, so we get that beat. Then we get the beat of the action figure and Mantis and her wanting to play with both of them. Mantis is like, I'm like a real person at the end. Kai is distracted as he sees everything through his jade army and can't keep everything straight. So Poe takes that opportunity to move in for the kill with the wooshy finger hold, but it doesn't work. He says, skadoosh. Hold on, let me try this again. Skadoosh. And Kai, of course, messes with it. Oh, no, I'm out there. He's like, that only works on mortals. I am a spirit warrior, is what he says.
A spirit warrior. Yes. So fucking cool.
And then Kai just whoops his ass all over the village. Defeated, Poe tells all the pandas to run, but there's nowhere to go. You really thought you could send me back to the spirit realm? You are just a stupid mortal. And Poe gets another great idea. You're right. I can't send you there, but I can take you there. Poe then uses Shifu's distraction for a massive, look over there, for an exit, wraps himself around Kai, and then skadooshes his own finger. And they blast off into a golden dust and wind up in the spirit realm.
Lee-wise. Was this perfectly done? No.
No.
Not at all. I was still it.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is the one point that I'm like, it's a little convoluted. And I don't know that I buy this by the rules you're setting up, but it got us to the spirit realm.
But, so. I mean, it only gets us to the spirit realm. It gets us to, we can do this. We, like, oh my God, man. That was the hypest shit. Everybody just do, you know, and
you
then
taught
it,
us who we stripe, are.
Stripey, as that little girl said. Oh my god.
Oh man, this is such a good moment, right? He gathers all the pandas around to show them, and then the hand sign from Blue Guy Skull says, "Poe, you taught us who we were all meant to be: a father, a friend, a dumpling kicker, a lethal fighting machine, a hugger, a nunchuck chick, a stripey baby, a family." And then a golden light emanates from their hands and starts breaking up the jade on Poe's body in the spirit realm.
Him turning into jade was also really cool. Yeah.
That was cool.
Cool.
Of course, and then erupting him in a golden aura, his chi is powerful.
And how fucking sick is this whole color scheme change? The green turning just to this hopeful sort of beam of light. It was awesome as hell.
Of course, you all. I'm a sucker for this. Because of we watched The Last Dragon, which is a movie you guys have never seen, but this reminds me of that, which is at the very, very end of the movie when he actually finds the power of the glow and he starts glowing gold, which is fucking rad. Anyway, cool. You guys should watch that movie. It's a fun one. Who are you? I've been asking the same question. Am I the son of a panda, the son of a goose, a student, a teacher? Turns out I am all of them. I am the dragon warrior. Poe makes a badass dragon of chi around him as he uses it and then uses it to dominate Kai. Poe harnesses his chi, and then Kai's like, I'll take your chi. He's like, you want my chi so bad? Then take it. But of course, it's too much for Kai to take, and he explodes in a golden ray of light.
This fight was, watching number one a couple weeks ago, I would have never thought we'd get here. Like, they went so hard having this giant, like, dragon summon fight versus a fucking souped up Kratos. So like, cool. And they went for it, man. Like, it was visually awesome, and like, just storytelling wise, I was like, this is hype as hell. Good job.
Great
Panda.
One by one, all the masters pop back through the peach blossom yin yang. I love that that's still a through line for the movie. It's like anytime someone goes into that realm, it's like a yin and yang sign made out of peach blossoms. Really, really cool. Except for Poe and Oogway. They both have really shiny capes, which they compliment on each other on. Oogway says, you've grown up, as I hoped you would.
It's also just that little line that you got to assume is just improv. Like, yeah, it looks really cool when I move this way. Like, I love something about the way that he's delivering those lines remind me of the way that, like, when later seasons of South Park, Cartman became very self-serious and, like, it just sounded like, yeah, when I move this way, my cape moves this way. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I love that stuff.
That's perfect. You definitely tell it Jack Black's having fun with those lines, which I think is important. Oogway says, you've grown up as I hoped you would have when I sent that message to your father. He was the one that sent the universal message over to Lee. You finally became the panda you were born to be. On the first day we met, I saw the future of Kung Fu and the past. I saw the panda who could unite them both sides of the yin and yang. Oogway then offers Poe his staff. And Poe's like, I can't possibly take that staff. That's your staff. He goes, just take it. I got a bigger one. It's you who should decide whether you stay or go. And then Poe goes, wait, I can go back? And then Uge says, who knows? I've never tried. And I love that. Uge continues to be my favorite character. Because you're like, does any of this matter? Maybe. I don't know. Is it all foretold? It doesn't matter. Uge is just so peaceful. He's got his inner peace. Which is Poe uses chi and Uge's staff to muster the power and return to the real realm. Of course, he just returns as himself with his normal clothing. He doesn't have a cool cape anymore. His dads rush to his side and hug him. We thought we'd lost you. He says, no, you saved me. You all did. Poe then spots Shifu, who is overjoyed until he spots Oogway's staff. And he's like, Poe, wait, where'd you get that? And he goes, I think I mastered chi. And he goes, of course you did. Of course you did. Yeah. And then he humbles himself and says, can you teach me? And we end with the scene of Poe teaching the entire valley and all of the pandas Kung Fu, and Master Shifu bows to him and Poe bows back. And then he faces all of his students together and they radiate a healing chi throughout the valley. Then we get an epic Everybody Was Kung Fu Fighting song, which I'm not sure we needed, but it's there.
But it felt appropriate. Yeah. I was like, they changed the lyrics. They added a bunch of
They made
of
it
shit.
About the
stuff. Yeah,
the
I was
movie.
Like, you know what? Good for you.
Fine.
And
good
for you. Was it in Chinese?
Yeah,
the
there was a whole bunch
school.
Of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I loved that shit. And then all the flowers blooming. Oh my God.
It's cool.
They just did it.
Yep.
It's interesting though, because I'm like, this is a good end of the trilogy. Yeah. Where are we gonna go from here?
I'm really concerned, but I've been concerned the last couple weeks too. But I really don't think 4 can bring the heat like this.
I think if we've learned anything from Saw in Review, it's that never count a series out.
You're right. So now it's time for a thing I like to call Ragu Bagu.
Ragu Bagu. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys here for Kung Fu Panda. Where do we have on the list? We have Shen on the list first.
Lord Shed from number two.
Right. And then Tai Long.
And then Tai Long.
For number one. Where number one. Do we want to put
Kai?
J.K. Simmons.
This is hard, y'all.
Dude.
This is real hard.
Kai.
I feel like it's easily better than number one. And I love number one, but like.
I'll say the thing I like about the other heroes, I like their motivations more. I think J.K. Simmons just. Plan is cool as shit, and obviously the fighting style, the way he looks, J.K. Simmons voicing him is awesome, but I do like the other more like the scorned student and this psychopath with Gary Oldman. I think I like them more, but it's like it's so tough because then we start getting to the math of it of like, well, I like know. This guy's math. Fighting moves yep. better. But I like the motivations here more.
See, I go the other way with it, right? Where you're thinking deep, I'm thinking surface level. I just feel like Gary Oldman has such a cool voice.
Yeah.
And then, what's the other guy? Michael Ian Black?
Ian McShane.
Ian McShane. Ian McShane, such a cool voice. And then you get J.K. Simmons, and he's got a good voice. But is it Gary Oldman? Is it Michael Ian Black? You know what I mean? Is it Shane Black?
Is it Michael Ian? Can you imagine?
Is it? Yeah, that'd be amazing. I just feel like I think J.K. Simmons was good in this. I think he was serviceable. I don't. I'm just a sucker for Tai Long, and I'm a sucker for Gary Oldman. So I'd put him probably last, honestly.
I think he's my favorite fighting style.
Yeah,
100%.
And he does the most of it.
Yeah,
like there's a lot,
and it looks sick. So, dude, the part where he launches the jades up in the air and then swings his fucking daggers and they get launched out there to the dude. That shit was insane.
Yeah. I'm going one.
Whoa.
I'm going one. So Nick's at three. I'm at one.
I'm putting him at three.
I'm putting him two because again, I didn't love Ian McShane in that role.
Oh, this is, comes down to I don't like this, but I'm going to go with my gut, which is what I thought when I was watching it, which is, I think I'm going to put it number one. Cause the fighting okay. and the jade stuff is so fucking cool.
Yeah,
that it makes for me, that makes up for the weaker side, which I think is the motivation.
Yeah.
So we're putting Kai at number one. God, these villains are sick as hell, man.
They're great.
But yeah. I also feel like on any given day, if I rewatch these, then maybe I would rank them differently.
See, that's the thing, is my favorite scene. I think my favorite villain scene in the whole trilogy is Tai Lung escaping from the prison. That sequence is so, it's scary.
Yeah.
Because you're like, they can't stop this thing. This thing is a fucking wraith. It is a phantom coming at you. And I love that.
That's dope.
I'll never forget being in the theater. I forgot what we were going to watch together. We were at, forget what theater we were at, but Kung Fu Panda 4 trailer pops up and it ends. And I looked at Tim. I was like, you want to watch these? Like, we're really going to do this? I just was not expecting anything from these movies.
I'm with you, man. And I haven't seen the trailer since that moment.
Oh, so, yeah.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't remember. Yeah.
I just want to go in at this point.
Yeah. I mean, well, that was me having not watched two or three and kind of forgetting that one was awesome. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's time to rank the Kung Fu Panda universe. Currently, Kung Fu Panda 1 and 2 are tied in an unprecedented move.
Wow. Should we tie 3 and just call it a deck?
No, definitely not. 3's number 1, baby. 3's number 1.
You think 3's number 1?
I do.
3's my favorite.
I think 3's number 1, and honestly, like looking at it, like I... Now, having seen these, and this isn't how in review works, but having seen these, I feel like it goes 3-2-1. Like, I think that they only have more and more fun with what they're doing. And at the end of the day, they're very simple things, but they get it right.
I think I would put 2 over this, mainly because of Gary Oldman, the presence, the cool, like, fighting moves with those blades on his claws so and shit. Sick. Like, there was a lot to love about 2. It's really hard to think about why I'd even like them over 1, because 1 has, I think, the best action still for me, where it was like the most consistent front to back.
Yeah, me too.
But god dang, these, I would put 2 over this because I loved Gary Oldman being this psychotic dude and having these awful motivations.
I would put 3 over 2.
Okay.
I love the dad storyline. I love that we get so much more James Hong. I love the little bit of Kate Hudson that we get. I think it's fun. And I think the way that that Poe's character development goes from 1 to 2 to 3, just a really strong trilogy.
But Joe, think about, let me tell you this, Joe. Think about when Poe gets back and he's reunited with his father again, and how emotional that made you.
Oh, and it was really emotional. He was like, noodles.
Yeah, you know? It's great. I think that's also another big reason why I would put 2 over this, was like, the family moments got me more than they got me here.
Oh, see, I'm the opposite. I'm with Joey on this one and Tim. I think three is better than two. Just because I do love the dichotomy of the two dads. I like how that ties into the storyline with Poe's sort of character arc in this, and I think it all just kind of works for me. And again, I'm a sucker for Mr. Ping. I love the character. I love that he got a little bit more of an arc in this than just being kind of one note like he was in the other movies.
And he had growth too.
He did have growth too, which is nice. It was good all around. So I would say that three is above two for me. I still would put number one at one just because I am a sucker for the hero's origin story. I like the journey better than that, and I think some of the humor hit better. And I think it had some perfect hype moments that this one unfortunately didn't have. But if we are making an amendment to last week, I don't know if we are officially or not, I would concede my vote from last week just so that we could move this particular thing through the Senate.
So then that would result then in 3-2-1?
3-2-1. Or as I call it now, the 3-2-1 go rule.
Wow.
Which is that we've made an amendment to law.
I vibe with that. Do we vote as a
Yeah, the consensus.
I think, yeah, the members approve this movement.
Okay. This
need
is
a gavel.
This is now approved, Your Honor. You're all guilty. We're guilty.
Motion.
We're all guilty, everybody.
I was going to say innocent. Oh, you're acquitted. Go home.
That
what did I say?
Right.
Go and be with God.
Go home and be with God.
Go home and be with God. All right, everybody. We're going to do just that next week when we go see Madam Web, and then we're going to talk about it. And you guys are going to watch it. It's going to be so much fucking fun.
I cannot wait.
So, yeah, join us for that. That should be interesting. And then in a couple weeks, we'll return for Kung Fu Panda 4. High hopes, maybe not so many high expectations. But hey, so far.
They've been fun.
So far, they've been great. So let us know what you think of the Kung Fu Panda universe. And until next time, I love you all. Goodbye. And shout out to you, Ben.